This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, July 16th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, a report on ethanol and politics and a change in policy among some companies. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. The Illinois House adjourned yesterday without making any action on the budget. As Amanda Vinicky explains, today is when leading lawmakers say the heavy lifting of restoring cuts will be done.
The 15-day clock has already started ticking on how long the General Assembly has if it wants to replace any or all of the $1.4 billion of cuts the governor stripped from the budget. The House Democrats' point man on the budget, Litchfield's Gary Hannig, says the plan is to leave some cuts in place, cuts Governor Rod Blagojevich made to agencies he controls, for example.
We're mostly concerned about the grants that go out to not-for-profits and go out for people, for groups and entities that provide services for Illinois citizens, and we're concerned about state employees.
However, any efforts to restore the money may be an exercise in futility. House attendance is low. Republicans are wary because they say Illinois doesn't have the money. Furthermore, the Senate's not scheduled to come back to Springfield, a necessity for any restorations to take effect. And the budget clock keeps ticking. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Democratic presidential candidate Barack Obama is returning to Indiana for a campaign appearance at Purdue University with Senator Evan Bayh. Today's event will be at Obama's first trip to Indiana since he spent several weeks crisscrossing the state before the May 6th primary, which he narrowly lost to Hillary Clinton. Obama's campaign says that he and Bayh will appear with former Georgia Senator Sam Nunn and experts on bioterrorism and cybersecurity for a discussion of 21st century security threats. Entrance to the event is by invitation only. The event will also be the first Obama campaign appearance for Bayh, who supported Clinton during the primary campaign and has been mentioned as a possible vice presidential pick for Obama. At $209,000, the cost for new street lighting in Champaign's Garden Hills neighborhood is higher than city officials expected. But city council members voted 8-0 last night to approve the bid for installing the lighting in the neighborhood on the city's northwest side. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Garden Hills was outside the Champaign city limits when it was built in the 1950s and didn't have to meet city standards for street lighting. It's been part of Champaign for years now, but Public Works Director Dennis Schmidt says much of the neighborhood is still very poorly lit at night. Now the city plans to bring better street lighting to part of Garden Hills, notably Hedge Road. The L-shaped street runs through a big section of the southern half of Garden Hills. Schmidt says it's a good place to begin lighting improvements.
Because of the canopy of the trees in the area, as well as with a long street that goes both in the east-west and north-south direction. So by putting some lighting, you could light up an entire street that could take you through the subdivision as well. So I think those were all reasons that led them to select Hedge Road as one of the locations to start.
Local officials hope the new street lights will help control crime and unruly behavior that came to a head in Garden Hills last summer. Other projects in the neighborhood include new youth activities sponsored by the city, park, and school district. The new streetlights could start going up in Garden Hills this fall. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
With the general election less than 4 months away, quarterly reports filed yesterday showed Illinois' congressional candidates raked in millions. But the signals are still mixed as to what the money might mean for Democrats and Republicans once all the votes are tallied. Of the state's 19 House seats, 5 involve particularly competitive races. 2 seats are defended by Democrats, 2 by Republicans, and the 5th an open seat now held by retiring 7th-term GOP Representative Jerry Weller. Illinois Senate Majority Leader Debbie Halverson reported about $917,000 in her campaign fund at mid-year. That's the best fundraising position any Democrat has ever had in running for Weller's seat in at least the past decade. Illinois law enforcement authorities say they want to reduce the number of motorcycle fatalities on state roadways. The state police, along with several local police agencies, plan today in Chicago to release a new traffic safety initiative called MADS, or Motorcycle Aggressive Driving Suppression. State police say the new effort focuses on reducing injuries and fatalities involving motorcycle drivers and passengers. State police say the new plan will have troopers and officers concentrate on aggravated speeding, improper lane usage, driving under the influence of alcohol, and following too closely. Have some extra time on your hands this summer? The Illinois State Fair is looking for volunteers. Fair officials say help is needed at information booths, the Illinois State Fair Museum, and the entry gates. A minimum of 15 hours is required of volunteers. All those who sign up to help get free admission, parking, and a T-shirt. The manager of the State Fair says the event draws nearly 750,000 people to Springfield each year, and volunteers are a big part of that success. To get a volunteer application, call 217-782-0777. The State Fair will be held August 8th through the 17th. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. For the past few years, ethanol's been a political darling, but lately it seems the party's over. There's concern the industry's using too much corn. That's contributing to rising food prices. Well, some companies want to avoid the controversy. Reporter Sean Ali explains they want to make ethanol from stuff we leave behind at the dinner table.
To give you a sense of how touchy the ethanol issue has gotten, consider what happened to presidential candidate Barack Obama. Last year, he supported mandates to add billions of gallons of ethanol to our fuel stream. But recently on Meet the Press, he was defensive.
If it turns out that we've got to make changes in our ethanol policy to help people get something to eat, then that's got to be the step we take. But I also believe that ethanol has been an important transitional tool for us to start dealing with our long-term energy crisis.
Obama and other ethanol backers say we're not stuck with corn-based ethanol. We can use wood chips or energy crops like switchgrass. But the cellulosic ethanol is a ways off. First, the technology is expensive. Plus, farmers don't even grow energy crops right now. So some companies hope to make ethanol from stuff that doesn't need farms at all. It would come from garbage cans, like this one at a coffee shop.
In that receptacle, there's a lot of paper, and there's some food bits, and there's some scraps. And we're able to turn that into sugar, and the weak sugar then we ferment, we distill into alcohol, and we get the ethanol.
Zig Reshak is with a startup company called Indiana Ethanol Power. He says garbage could compete with corn.
If you have a corn to ethanol facility, you're going to pay for the feedstock. Trash as a feedstock, we don't pay for it. The municipalities actually pay us to take the trash, just like a landfill will take the trash.
Reshak's company isn't the only one to figure this out. At least three other ethanol firms are asking cities to hand over their trash and cash. Besides being cheaper, there might be other advantages to using garbage for ethanol. Bob Dineen is with the industry group, the Renewable Fuels Association.
We have garbage all across the country.
Here's why that matters. Before it makes it to the pump, ethanol needs to be blended at refineries. Dineen says those refineries are far from corn farms and rural ethanol plants. But refineries are often close to big metro areas and big city trash.
A company that is able to produce from local landfill refuse, he is clearly going to have an advantage in terms of transportation and feedstock costs and all the rest.
Well, that's the theory anyway. The market hasn't tested garbage-based ethanol yet. So what exactly is stopping companies like Indiana Ethanol Power from giving it a go? Well, Reshak says it's simple. Cities just haven't been willing to part with their trash.
Municipalities are very comfortable with putting it in the back of a truck and letting it go to the landfill. They don't think about it. They don't think about it twice. But for us to come in and say, look, guys, we're going to take it cheaper and we're going to save you, millions of dollars every year on your tipping fee, that's different, and that's kind of scary, and people want to take a good, strong look at that.
Reshak predicts by the time cities do come around to the idea, there will be even more companies ready to take garbage bags out of their hands. For the Environment Report, I'm Sean Ali.
The forecast for the region, sunny skies today, a high around 90 degrees. Clear skies this evening, the low around 65. Sunny skies tomorrow, the high around 92. Mostly clear tomorrow night, the low around 68. Sunny skies Friday with a high around 92. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. for Wednesday, July 16th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.